Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois Radio, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Mm-hmm. That's just what we do. You know what else we do? We invite a third party to join us here in the sack. Each episode, we'll be chatting about sex, relationships, and every goddamn thing in between.
That was a good grunt today.
Ooh, I went for it. I went to the low register and then to the high register. How are you, lover?
I'm good. Hey. How are you?
Birthday day today.
Not yours.
Not mine, yours.
Mine.
Yours. But now we share. Now they're ours. I'm stealing the thunder of your birthday. Hey, it was in the contract we signed when we got married.
You know who else? It's not its birthday. You know this handsome devil.
Yes, you do. He's a Caucasian writer-comedian living in New York City by way of Portland, Oregon.
My hometown.
That's Diana's hometown.
He's a contributing writer for The Onion, a member of legendary sketch group Pangea 3000, and he writes for comedy juggernaut Funny or Die.
He has a regular column on TheOccasional.com titled Sex Advice from an Uncomfortable Guy Who's Afraid of Sex and Blows It Every Time.
Ooh, rolls right off the tongue. You've certainly seen him goofing around in one of his many appearances on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon.
Please welcome Mr. Zach Poitras, a.k.a. Dr. Sex Man.
Hey! Thanks for having me, guys. That was a really nice intro.
Thanks. Dude,
thorough intro.
Holy crap.
Yeah, we found out everything.
Yeah, wow.
Google fingers went wild on Zach Poitras.
Yeah, that was really good.
Thanks for being here, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. I love talking about sex, and I love you guys, so it's going to be great.
It's a good fit.
Cool. Well, we like all those things, too. Mm-hmm. Ourselves and sex.
All right.
Sex and ourselves.
We like to get everyone loose in the room during our
great
podcast, so we like to wine and dine everyone.
Fantastic.
We try to be fancy.
We do. Mm-hmm. We never dine, except for today we're kind of dining.
We are a little bit. We're dining a little bit because we asked Poitras what he would like and his favorite beverage, and he said whiskey with a banana in it.
Mm-hmm.
Banana.
Oh, yeah.
Last time I checked, banana was a food.
It still is.
Great. I think it's one of the most magical foods.
You were saying it's your favorite food.
Yeah. Whenever I'm feeling low. And I'm not even just talking about, like, blood sugar-wise, but usually...
Emotionally?
Just a banana usually just makes me feel a little happier. I think your body just uses almost every bit of the banana. Right. Let's put it this way. True. I've never taken a shit and seen a banana in the bowl. It uses everything.
That's right. When you eat Cheetos, right, you just shit out Cheetos.
Yeah.
Crunchy Cheetos you see sitting in the bowl. No, bananas are digested and well-used. I agree with that. I actually think when I'm really hungry, even, I'll eat a banana, and I just immediately feel... It's almost like a meal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very starchy.
It
fills
starchy
you up.
And then whiskey's the best, so.
That's absolutely true. Now, you spelled whiskey when you sent it. I ended up getting bourbon, which has the EY in whiskey. You just went with a straight Y when you asked for whiskey. So I was nervous if I was should have gotten like a Canadian whiskey or a scotch or something.
Maybe I was just like staring at my cat's face or something. And I was,
give me whiskersy.
Kind of whiskery. I like that. I like to drink that up.
Yeah, so we got a little Woodford, a little bourbon.
Yeah.
Bourbon and banana, which is a hell of a combo.
Bourbon and banana.
It's
I'm
delicious.
Excited to try this.
And yeah. Diana wanted a glass of whiskey with just a full banana, just
that's
stuffed
what I
into
thought
it.
He wanted.
Which I support. I support that. I think you can have it either way, but I also totally support just sticking a banana in there because you can just eat the banana whenever you want.
Yep.
For our listeners, Murph thought it was a slice of a banana,
I did
garnish.
Discs. Yeah.
Which I like that too. I think that's great. It looks aesthetically... It is very pleasing.
Can you just take sides, please? Jesus.
All right.
You know what? I regret it. I'm going to take a side. I should have just stuffed
this?
One whole
you take
banana
a bunch of bananas, and then you just kind of drizzle whiskey all over them, and then you eat all of them.
Have you guys had bananas flambé? There's a few names for that dessert, but you end up lighting it on fire.
Isn't that Bananas Foster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We called it flambé at the terrible restaurant
fancy
I worked
pants
at.
I think I have had that once.
I don't think I've ever...
You basically put a bunch of 151 on like caramel and ice cream and bananas, but it's that same idea where it's like an alcoholic tasting.
It's
Nanner
cool
treat.
Ew.
Sexy, okay?
Potassium after
nice
dark.
Well, you're in a relationship.
I am, yeah. Very serious one.
Do you drink bananas and whiskey with your lady love?
Caroline actually does not enjoy bananas.
Oh, man. Deal breaker.
It's weird.
You guys are really in love then.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really in love. I bring it up probably more than it ever needs to be brought up. I just don't understand why you don't like bananas. Can we talk about this? And she's like, why are you just trying to start an argument? Like, why are you bringing this up? It's like, I just don't get it. Like, you're wrong.
Yeah, I have a dear friend of mine, same thing. Every time I would eat a banana, I lived with him for a little while, and he was disgusted by bananas,
some
just by the
like
texture
them
of
yeah
it and everything.
I mean, like, I get not liking banana-flavored, like, runts or something. I hate
right
banana-flavored stuff.
Ugh.
But just bananas themselves are just fantastic.
There's one good banana flavored candy, and I forget what it is because I totally agree. Mm-hmm. But there's one that I like.
Don't
and
you
I don't
talk
know.
About that now and later.
It might be a now and later.
They're just, it's like a fucking Starburst that has been sitting out in the sun for too long. It's not chewy enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that.
Okay. Well, you like what you like.
It's like rough tar, dried tar in your mouth.
I like ripping my teeth out slowly. Usually fruit at bars is really gross.
Yes. I saw something recently. I don't know what it was. What was it? Was it a piece of fruit? I don't know what the hell I saw. But it was a lot of bacteria on it. And then bars when they slice up those lemons.
I didn't know there was a lot of bacteria just sitting on there. Did it just look like bacteria?
I think I eyeballed it and I was like, there's something gross.
He has a superpower.
It was in a bar. Whoa. And I remember reading an article as well about people swabbing, just at like a random bars in New York City, swabbing lemons and limes that are cut up. And they're just infested with just disgusting. Because
well,
they sit out and...
There was a lime shortage, right? Didn't that happen? And so they were trying to use all of these substitutes because they didn't want to give anybody limes because they're too
They were putting lime runts in people's drinks. What the hell?
No. yeah. Well.
Something scientific there, I say.
This fruit, though, you know, has been freshly sliced right here at the table.
I watched you slice it with a plastic knife on a napkin. It was beautiful.
Well, that's a great thing about the banana.
Yeah.
Not to get a cadet horse. We're obviously into the banana, but it comes in its own little wrapper, like an egg.
You don't need to wash it. Yeah. I remember when I was little, like, you're told, like, wash all the fruit. And so I'd wash oranges and bananas, but it's like, what the hell does that do? Yeah. I'm about to take this whole layer off and then eat it. Like,
well, this is really boring, but I've heard that if you scrub every kind of fruit, you won't get fruit flies because the eggs are on the outside when you bring them home.
Got it.
Ooh. So, like, if you get a bushel of bananas, bring it to your kitchen. You could give it a rinse, which might prevent you from getting flies.
There
in your
you
kitchen.
Go.
Fruit flies.
I
fun fact
buggers.
For those homemakers.
Completely makes sense why I get fruit flies every time I let a bunch of bananas just kind of sit there in my kitchen for a long
when
time.
When I let fruit rot in my kitchen, bugs overtake it.
I get it.
But Caroline, I brought bananas for two, and they're sitting here, and there's fruit flies mating on them.
Well, that's scientific.
It is. Mm-hmm. You know what else is scientific?
What?
Sexy science.
All right.
That was the second time I tried to do that segue, dear.
And you nailed it. Two for two.
You just didn't hear me the first time.
That was great.
Oh, wow. Oh, the one that you did earlier today that I whiffed on, yeah.
So what we do here is we like to look at the science of people's hearts and parts.
Great.
So we rip articles from the headlines and discuss them.
Oh, nice.
In a way that makes them accessible to our listeners. This comes to us from HuffPo in the UK. Sexually open relationships on the rise.
So there's some problem in the institution of marriage that's existing sociologically. And one idea is that one of these problems is the idea of monogamy or compulsory monogamy. And so many people are starting to question that.
Hmm.
So here we are, Dr. Kevin Zimmerman. He's at Iowa State University psychology program. He recently published a study that found open relationships have been steadily on the rise worldwide for the past two decades.
Interesting.
An assault, an all-out assault on monogamy.
But we're married.
We are married.
You're not married yet.
No, I'm engaged, yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't like this article.
No, I poo-poo this article.
It's strange because the couples that I know that have – the non-gay couples I know that have like been open – have had open relationships, it's gone terribly.
Yes.
And it's completely ruined them.
Right.
Now, if you're asking like – about a couple like swinging or doing a menage or something like that, I think that's different than being like, go ahead, go consistently see this person.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think there's because there's an emotional attachment to, I think we've talked about this before. You said about the emotional cheating feeling worse if you're just hanging out with someone, not even that you're fucking them.
Yeah.
You're just like,
oh, yeah.
You're spending your life with
them. I'd rather you go to Vegas and like bang a hooker than like, be like writing letters about your life and feelings to someone and you're like, what the hell?
All right. If I had to choose one.
I do think it has to do with the terms on which you meet though. Because like I wouldn't share you now. But if we'd both met and we were like cool swingers, like that had a lot of like pansexual polyamorous relationships, it'd be like fine.
Who you are.
I agree. We didn't enter into this with that swinging vibe. And it's interesting that you mentioned the gay community because that it seems to be more prevalent or at least more of an understanding of open relationships.
I just see it working more.
I just see them
I have to qualify that because I know a couple gay relationships where it has been open and they've like seen other and they're fine.
Yeah.
Like it's
no,
yeah.
I know married male gay couples who are it's fine to have a few trysts, mm-hmm. which is interesting because I don't see that at all with.
No.
I wonder what that is.
I don't know what that is. I don't know. 3% of mammals, that was the statistic here from this study, are involved in monogamous relationships.
Interesting.
So we're one of those mammals of the 3%, but there aren't a lot, 97% of mammals.
Well, a point they make in the article that's interesting is with romantic love, you think it's only one, like because there's got to be like who you love more, but that doesn't apply to like children or siblings. So they're like other kinds of love. You can like love five people equally, but when it comes to a romantic relationship, people get really touchy about it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I think the love lust. I think like you were saying, an open relationship where it's just the lust. You're just inviting a third person into your bedroom.
Yeah.
In a long-term relationship versus trying to have five relationships at one time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just like when it's like, look, I'm opening myself up to all play. I mean, like having a brother and having a lover are two completely different things.
Let's just get that out there.
Right. Yeah. Let's put that on a
t-shirt.
Feel
different. It just feels different. Like, I don't know. I just feel differently towards my fiance than I feel towards my brother.
That's fair.
Right. I think they're just making the points that in other aspects of your life where you love people, mm-hmm. you can love like multiple people equally.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
I don't think they're saying you would love your wife the way you would love your brother.
Yeah,
I hope
exactly.
not.
Well, what is Zimmerman
article?
Saying? What is an open relationship to this guy? I think we have something here.
Open relationships tend to be based on a primary relationship of a committed couple that have been together for a period of time, and they decide that one or the other or both can begin to explore their sexuality or their sexual interests or curiosity outside of the relationship.
Okay, so that is what you're talking about. That sounds like what the study he was doing is more committed long term.
Like you're on year 30 of your marriage and you're like, let's fuck the librarian.
Let's get the librarian over here.
Well, here's a question, though. What if you guys are in, like, year 20 of your marriage, and it's like, look, I've always wanted to do this one sexual thing, mm-hmm. and it's just, like, always been on my list. I love you to death. I, like, have never cheated on you, done anything. I just have this one sexual thing, and the other is not down for it. Like, is it then okay to be like, all right, just go do that, and then, you know, you'll come back, and you'll be fine? Like,
interesting. I'd like to think yes. I'd like to think I'm open-minded enough.
I'd like to think yes, too.
But I don't – in the moment, I'm not sure.
I think definitely 20 years in, it's like whatever.
Right.
But
that's
I think
also
what's
true.
Problematic –
at that point, you'll know if they're going to come back or not, I think, after that little episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know their limitations.
Yeah. And I also think that
– they need you.
Yeah.
To make breakfast.
Mm-hmm. They just need breakfast. They love breakfast a
to
lot.
To peel your
so
banana.
We've floated the idea of there's a resort in Jamaica called Hedonism. I don't know if you've ever heard of this place.
Hedonism 2.
Hedonism 2. It's in Jamaica and it's a swingers resort. And we've kind of floated the idea of going there. It's
we talk
always,
about it all the time.
We do talk about it a lot. And that's a situation. It's a destination. You go. Everybody fiddles about. Then you come home. You're still married.
But that still feels separate because you're going somewhere together to do a weird thing.
Agreed.
It's not like part of your everyday life that then you would worry, like, how is this going to affect my...
Yeah, you open a box and you closed it.
Yeah.
It's totally different.
You fly back and you're like, holy shit, I have gonorrhea.
Mm-hmm. That's the only thing that got out of the box. It's still part of your life. But
we're going to have to deal with this forever now.
I went to Jamaica and all I got was this gonorrhea.
Well, what about Hedo Rick?
Hedo Rick is my hero.
The wild women, the ripping and the tearing, the ripping and the tearing.
Are you familiar with this?
No, what is what?
Hedo Rick is a legendary pervert. He's when we were talking about this resort, did some Googling and found a YouTube clip of this guy who has been to Hedonism 2 every year for like
40 years.
A single guy.
He's like 55 and he's wearing a Speedo and he does this nasty little dance. We'll show you later.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And so he's a big time advocate of hedonism too, of course. He's also a single man.
Yeah.
So
going there every year.
Sure.
What strikes me though is he's like, yeah, hedonism too. And everyone's like, okay, I'm on board. And then he says the wild, wild women. And everyone's like, yeah. And then he says the ripping and the tearing. And you're like, what does that
mean? Yeah, where are you going there?
What does Rick mean by ripping and tearing?
What is ripping and or tearing?
Maybe it's Rick getting into the room and just frantically ripping and tearing his own clothes off and like just hopping in bed as fast as possible. Just he's like, they can't realize that like I'm here alone.
Yeah.
Like
He rips a fart, tears his clothes off, and dies.
Rip a fart, tear clothes off, pass out, wake up, go home.
The ripping and the tearing.
Every year for 40 years, man.
It's great.
40 years.
Like clockwork.
The guy's a hero.
So you guys are saying that you're kind of interested in going to Jamaica and having sex with this man? Or like?
No, like having sex with a bunch of people.
Specifically Rick.
Not just Rick.
He's the draw. It sounds like he's the draw for you guys.
That was the commercial that sold us.
I basically think I want to be someone who wants to do that, if that makes any sense. Like, I think we're kind of boring at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't say boring. I think we're the best. But I'm like, oh, I never thought I'd be like 33, happily married.
Yeah.
You know?
It's refreshing to hear that because I kind of feel the same way.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I want to be like, oh, man, I met this crazy guy. We both like are big drinkers. We're going to go to Jamaica and like, fuck, you know, Rick.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like I think I want, in my mind's eye, that's like the cool adult I would have been.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 17-year-old me would definitely be like, yeah, when you're in your 30s, okay, I'll be married, but I'll be at hedonism too, or some equivalent of that,
swinging.
Whatever, at 17. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. I don't know that that's true. I think what would end up happening is we would go unless we actually met up with Hedo Rick. But every other scenario, if we went there and just got drunk and we're at a resort in Jamaica, there might be like some weird where we're in a room with things involved, but I don't see us just flat out bringing a bunch of people, especially when you get into like 8 or 9 heads in a room.
What? Also, if they're like young and hot, maybe, but I feel like hedonism too is
a lot of Hedo Ricks.
I don't think it's going to have a whole lot of young and hot
people.
It's a lot of Ricks running around.
I feel like if you're hot, you can just have an orgy wherever you live.
Yeah, you don't need to like
but if you're
scope
gross,
it out.
You have to go to Jamaica.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to be, I would love it if Caroline and I were a couple that would like occasionally like seduce.
Mm-hmm.
Seduce a woman or a man. I'd love to be open to that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, and bring them back to our place and then like just have a night of like triple passion. And then the next day, like we all just make each other breakfast and it's like, all right, cool. See you later.
Yeah.
I just like,
would it play
I don't even
out
know where
that
to start.
Way.
I don't even, yeah.
Do you watch House of Cards?
Yes.
You know when they just like bone their security guard and then they're all like drinking coffee in the morning in their
like,
bathrobes?
Needed that. Yeah.
And they just need, yeah, they just
That's
needed
a power
that.
Play.
And you know
yeah.
they're always going to be, at the end of the day, it's just the two of them.
Yeah.
There's no like, no one's threatened.
I thought that was cool. And it was clear that the security guard liked them too.
Yeah.
He's still into it.
Seduced
like,
by their power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, I think that's exactly where what you're saying. I think I would want to be at that place where it was just that to me, but I think there'd be some emotional checks.
Yeah. No strings, just fun.
Is
I don't
Hedo
know
Rick
how to do that.
Our security guard.
Yes.
He could be.
He should be.
The wild women. The wild women. The ripping and the tearing. The ripping and
That's
the
what the security guard said. And then Kevin Spacey went up to him and he's like, come here. I start gently kissing.
Gently kissing. Yeah, I think you're right about the emotional attachment because I've had a few three-way situations with a gentleman as well, but it was more of a.
What?
Yeah.
Well, how am
me
I just
and a,
hearing
me and
about
gentleman,
this?
I think I've told you about the gentleman. Not that me and the gentleman were not engaged in anything.
Sure.
And then I had another one, but there was no relationship involved. Even the one with me and two ladies was they had kind of a loose dating relationship. So I was the other person on the outside. And it was just like a sloppy mess of a just sexual situation. There was no nice breakfast the next morning.
Yeah.
There was no tender, spacey kisses.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like that. So that, I think, there's no emotional attachment. So I think that's a whole different animal.
I mean, it's like the stalemate that Caroline and I keep coming up to where it's like, threesome. That sounds like fun. But then she's like, well, I don't know how much I want to watch you with like another woman. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, well, what about a guy? And it's like, I don't want to watch you with another guy.
Then, the stalemate begins.
And then it's straight. And then we're right back at square one where it's like, okay, well, each of us is open to the idea of a threesome, but neither of us wants to see the other person having sex with another person.
I also think drugs are like a big part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I think if you're on the right drugs, you're not watching. You're just like dancing while they're
one of those was an MDMA. One
it's
of those
just
was an
beautiful.
MDMA.
That's true. Yeah. It's if you, yeah. When you're taking something like that, it's just all beautiful. Yeah.
It's like a montage in a movie where nothing's ever that specific or like
mm-hmm. who knows whose boob is what at that point.
Yeah. Is that a butt or a boob or a dick or a nut?
Mm-hmm.
Dick or a nut.
Those are a lot of questions.
We're bringing up a lot of questions. Well, Hedo Rick.
We salute you.
We salute you.
I salute Hedo Rick, too.
And we may not have answers for Hedo Rick, but we might have some answers for our listeners in listener love.
Listener mailbag.
that slid out of my mouth. Listener,
that who's, sounded sexy.
I could barely,
who does that listener mailbag?
Taylor.
That's Taylor Moore.
Oh, that's
used
what
to
I figured.
Produce our show back in the day, and yeah, he did some of these, and then said, "Hey, use these cues still." We said, "Can we still use them?" He said,
that's
"Yes."
Great
yeah, place. He remains alive and well in our podcast.
That's great.
It's like a listener mailbag.
Listener mailbag.
Listener mailbag.
He was having a bowel movement when they recorded that.
So what we do here is people are always like, "Murph, Diana, you guys are experts. You have this cool podcast. You must have advice for me about my body and my romantic brain."
Love it.
They email us. They stop us on the street. They stop us on the subway.
That was a very bizarre situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were stopped on the subway.
Ooh. So our first question, let's see if we can help this lady. It comes to us from Kimya in Silver Lake via our email, which is menageatois.radio@gmail.com. Kimya asks, "I have a huge crush on Kevin Costner. Like, I've masturbated to Bull Durham." What? "My BFF is a makeup artist specializing in prosthetic masks, one of the best in Hollywood." Whoa, she made all the masks for Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible movies. "Anyway, I half jokingly asked her to make me a Kevin Costner mask, and this year for my birthday, she gave me a frighteningly realistic Costner mask. I want my boyfriend to wear it while he fucks me. How can I bring it up without sounding like a lunatic?"
I think the answer is you can't.
There's no real way.
There's such a difference between having sex with Kevin Costner and having sex with someone wearing a Kevin Costner mask.
Yeah, yeah, there is.
Yeah.
There really is.
That's a really good point.
How do you bring it up to Kevin Costner is the better question. If you ever cross paths with Costner.
My God.
You probably will at some point.
Couldn't you just have like
She's
a baseball?
She's in Silver Lake.
Yeah, she is in Silver Lake. She might cross paths. What if you just threw a baseball in bed? And you're like, oh, it's a Bull Durham scenario. Well, role-playing is one thing.
Is Bull Durham a baseball movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that was. I just know that masturbating to Bull Durham is weird.
Sure.
Yeah, because there's some passion in it, but I wouldn't call it a sexual, overly sexual.
He's a handsome guy in that movie, though.
Yes. He's like his dad, handsome.
If you're into Kevin Costner, I wouldn't put it past you that being the movie that you...
Really? What about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Do that, too.
Remember
the accent
naked?
Was terrible.
It's so bad.
You put it on mute. You turn on your favorite jams, and you watch him crawl naked out of that pond he's bathing in.
Sure.
For my money, I'm jacking it to Rickman. If we're going to Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves,
Rickman's not on the table.
Just foaming at the mouth. Give me a Rickman mask.
I go for it.
You have to pick a Costner.
Oh man.
Tin Cup Costner, I guess.
That's a good one.
Such a good movie.
That's what I thought Bull Durham was.
Yes.
That's golf, right?
That's golf.
Guys, yeah.
Well,
Tin
yeah.
Cup is like the Bull Durham of golf. Yeah, they're
it is.
Essentially they're like the same movie.
Cool.
He's like a warm, like underdog, middle aged, like handsome but not disarmingly handsome kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. Renee Russo's in Tin Cup.
Mm-hmm.
She's great.
She's great.
Did you see Nightcrawler?
I haven't seen it yet.
Ooh,
it's good. Man, it's good. Anywho,
big
no
Renee
spoilers
Russo
on
fan.
This show.
Yeah, she's great.
So, I think you should be able to ask your boyfriend anything, but I do think that he might be like, "What?" But he also might be fine.
Yeah, because I feel like this falls under the cliche that most couples float out there of like you get your one.
Yeah.
If there's a celebrity that, mm-hmm. that you have the chance to fuck that you've always wanted to fuck and you're like, that would be fine. So this is kind of that, but even cheating that because it's still you. You're just wearing
Yeah, he's
Costner.
Lucky he gets to be part of it.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, that's the thing. The question was, will I sound like a lunatic? You will sound a little crazy if mm-hmm. you are so hot into Kevin Costner that you're willing to just have sex with a man wearing a Kevin Costner mask. But that being said, why not? I mean, you should still be able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, see if you can do a tradesies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. You're wearing Rene Russo. He's wearing
yeah,
Kevin Costner.
Exactly.
I'm just assuming his one is Rene Russo.
Or Hedo Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Hedo.
I had a pretty good Whoopi Goldberg mask in fourth grade.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Is that what sealed the deal with your beloved?
That's once I threw that on.
The Whoopi mask came out.
It was all over, man. She was a huge The Associate fan. She's like, I just got one dream.
Not ghost.
So what would the mask be if I, because I'm just thinking about it. And Costner, I respect as, you know, just doing his thing. But I don't know who, so I think I would wear a mask is what I was saying, just for like a one time.
I'm not into the mask.
Yeah.
I'd rather you had like
it's creepy.
A weird, cool tail or like something else.
Ooh, a tail.
But if I have to go with mask, maybe like a Penelope Cruz.
Mm. Ooh.
Penelope. That would get very confusing.
You and a Penelope Cruz mask would be very strange to have sex with.
Yeah, that's erotic sci-fi. Almost.
That's its own Vanilla Sky movie.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, Haas, who's your mask?
Fuck.
Or tail.
Or tail. God damn it, that's really hard. I will say, who is in Lost in Translation, the blonde?
Scarlett Johansson.
Let's go for a ScarJo.
ScarJo, that's great. But yeah. I'd go boobs on that,
boobs
not
on,
face.
Yeah.
Boob yeah, mask. I guess you're right.
If you're going to get one...
Not to pick anyone apart, yeah. But if you're masking one part of the body...
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, I think we helped Kimyo,
yeah.
Right?
Kimyo, you got your answers.
State your needs, but don't be surprised if they're unwanted.
Agreed. All right, so this one comes from Hal W. in New Hampshire. He messaged us on Facebook, Ménage à Trois Radio. He asks, I have a thing where I like making love to skin folds.
Mm.
I took a job at a weight loss clinic because when women or men lose lots of weight, they have a bunch of extra skin, and I thought the clinic would be a great place to meet people who can feed my fetish.
Cool.
My boss overheard me telling a coworker about my desire to fuck folds, and he's threatening to fire me.
Thanks.
If he does, can I sue him for wrongful termination?
What?
So the question is,
no. Yeah.
That's not, how is that wrong for termination? You overheard one of your employees talking about how he wants to fuck your clients.
Yeah, that's inappropriate. That's fireable.
Also, I'm so glad that he was wanting to fuck the clients because I got scared when you started reading this that he was like going and finding the excess skin in the dumpster and fucking it.
Well, that's victimless.
Which it is victimless, but just it was a horrifying picture in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, if you were... if you somehow hooked up, I don't know what the policy is. Different companies have different policies. If you somehow managed to hook up with a client outside of, maybe there's a gray area. If you're found at the dumpsters fucking the dead skin folds that were taken off, you're definitely fired.
Well, you can
and
donate.
You have no wrongful termination.
You can donate organs. Do you think you could donate skin folds?
To this man's fetish? Yeah. I don't know. Am I insane? But I feel like when I see the skin folds, I would rather the fat person. There's something less attractive to me about someone who used to be really, really fat and then just has a lot of excess skin.
Yeah.
Looks like you, it feels like a Men in Black situation where you're like, mm-hmm. an alien stepped into a body and.
Yeah, just loose.
Yeah.
Very loose. Doesn't look as human as just.
Well, I think they can nip and tuck that off.
Well, I guess they will. They're the in between stage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which, yeah.
Because that's usually the BBW fetish is kind of like the, find a fold and
find
fuck
a fold and fuck it.
That's a thing that's floating around out there. So if you just want someone who doesn't necessarily have, it's just like different skin folds.
But I guess that guy really wished he lived in the time when Chinese women had the small feet and they would fuck you with their feet.
Because
that was all about just creating the right fold with the feet so it would feel like a vagina.
It's an art form.
I didn't know the tiny foot thing had to do with fold fucking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the foot would get so small, each foot would be so small that when put together in the right way and manipulated the right way by these women, the man would feel like he's actually fucking a woman.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like the most brutal torture. Because you're like hurting your feet and then you have to maneuver them.
Well, yeah. I mean, it might have been a one-way street. I don't think you get much pleasure out of being the feet in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
They should bind men's feet to be like a wiener and balls. Ooh. And they should have to maneuver around that.
Yeah. Interesting. I could see the foot being manipulated to look like that.
You have to pull that long middle toe out.
Yeah. You just start wearing shoes that are just real... pointed, and then you try and make your heel look like two separate balls. You start trying to separate the heel.
I could see it over time. I
could see that.
Foot cock is a really...
It's gotta be... You'd have to be... You could get, if you get a right soccer player, I could see him like fucking a woman with his foot.
Yes.
In a kind of in a way with good control.
The dexterity.
Who's the guy that bit... was suspended for biting in the World Cup? Is that his name?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I think he has two dicks for feet.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Hal W, I mean, no, the answer is just no to your question. You don't have a wrongful termination suit on your hands.
But good luck.
But good luck to you. Good luck finding feeder folds.
Really is the perfect job if you...
Yeah.
That's gross.
Just be able to make it work.
Just go online. You can find anything. You can find people who want to do that. You don't have to like victimize hospital patients.
Right.
I think he's trying to find them that are also willing.
I think consensual. I didn't take away anything from Hal W. saying he was going to force himself on anyone.
Yeah.
But I don't know Hal W. then again.
Yeah.
Oh, Hal. Okay, our third and final question comes to us from at TobyBK. He tweeted at Menage Radio. He says, where the weed at?
Where the weed at? Yeah, this is a tweet that came in.
NBK,
not in my pocket right now.
Yeah. I don't have it, but this is a man after my own heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
we
great.
Do have a little bit of old weed for our wedding presents. So a few different guests gave us some weed.
You can't invite this guy over to...
No, don't come to our house to smoke. It's because it's also old. That's from February. Some of that's sitting around. We smoked a lot of it, but not all of it.
Yeah, I need to get some more weed soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Haas, do you know where the weed at?
I mean, I got some numbers.
Will you just
options.
Say them?
Yeah, just say
names and numbers into the microphone.
Do you guys have, when you get weed, do you have somebody come into your apartment?
This is all...
Or do you go, the way I do is I go into a man's van.
Yeah, meet outside of the apartment.
And get it in his van. He's driving and I just go, here you go. And then,
yeah.
And then he gives me some.
Call me old fashioned, but I wait outside the high school.
Yeah, those kids have the best weed.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know teenagers always have weed.
Teenagers have, I remember trying to buy weed from teenagers when I first moved to Seattle and graduated from college. And I was like, oh, they're going to know. And they were like, we don't have weed. Like, we have Coke, E. Like,
wow.
And I was like, shit has changed. They were like,
in
12.
Seattle?
Yeah.
They're like, you old softy.
It's really, it's
yeah.
moved
scary.
On.
They're like, listen, you old hippie woman.
Yeah.
I was like
here's a clove cigarette, old woman. Go to hell.
Lord.
Yeah. I mean, there's delivery services floating around as well. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could always call, I guess. I want to know where the oil at is what I want to know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
A vaporizer someone gave us also.
Wax.
As a
we need wax.
We need wax.
The wax.
Oil. You can't just, because the wax is not floating around everywhere.
It's huge in L.A.
Yeah.
Because they just all get it
it's
at the
dispensary. Legal. Just go to a fucking store and buy it.
When, New York?
We're not getting that wax anytime soon, I don't think.
No. Yeah.
Hey, Oregon, though.
Oregon, yeah,
Oregon. Let's give it up for the two Oregon birds.
So, Toby BK, the weed at Oregon, the weed at California.
Yeah, take a trip. Well, I think we answered some of those questions, if not all of them. And now we have some questions for our guest.
Great.
We do a little thing called six sextions. It's six rapid fire sex questions.
Cool.
So it's kind of a free association thing. So just answer as quickly as you can.
Sounds great.
Starts right. Now.
Would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
One life partner.
What is the sexiest animal?
Oh, a peacock.
Who is your number one celebrity crush?
Number one celebrity crush? I'd have to say Scarlett Johansson.
What's the best song to have sex to?
Oh, Oh, Sade. Yeah.
Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
Hot tub, backseat, or bed? Backseat for nostalgia.
Yes.
And finally, Zach, what's the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Oh, that they don't bore me.
Yeah, yeah.
This has been Six Sections with Zach Poitras. Those were good.
Just a couple of follow-ups. The peacock I love, strutting its stuff.
I think the
it's a beautiful animal.
It's the most... It's just like the plumage. It's all sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there for sex. And it's
yeah.
just a huge, it's a bird all about feathers for sex. I think it's a very sexual animal.
It's all of a charity, feathers for sex.
Yeah. A great thing about peacocks is also they're really wily creatures. At the Oregon Zoo, they were like, a peacock attacked a little child, a toddler. And they're like, we're gonna, at the Oregon Zoo, peacocks just run wild. There's just like a bunch of peacocks running around the zoo. And it was always just kind of fun to be like, oh, there's one of the peacocks. But a peacock attacked a kid, and they're like, that's it. We got to wrangle up all the peacocks, and we're gonna like, ship them somewhere else. We can't have them running around anymore. But they're like, but just so you all know, it's going to take us a few years to catch them. And they're like, because peacocks are so smart and so wily, they know when you want to catch them,
yes.
And they are very good at avoiding it.
That's
you jump on one, you look down, you're just holding like a blue and green blanket,
yeah.
And they're like laughing at you.
Oh.
Well, the Oregon Zoo, that's funny because I thought you were going to say from when we were younger, they all escaped once and they were just wandering around like the Southwest Hills.
Oh, man.
And people would be driving up Vista and be like, I almost hit a fucking peacock. And you're like, well, they're geniuses and they've all decided to leave the zoo and buy a home.
Them. Yeah. Peacocks, man.
Also, when we said, what's the sexiest song? And you started going, dee doo dee doo. I was like, Is he just making the sexiest song?
Okay, you want to get? You guys want to say?
Yeah, let's hear the sexiest song.
Take it out, take it out.
The ripping and the tearing, the ripping and the tearing.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay,
that was the sexiest song.
Yep.
Sade.
Sade, man.
Sade.
Ooh.
I don't think I've ever had sex to Sade though, but.
Did I've you mean to. Smooth Operator?
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
That's the one.
My friend Sarah.
It's a lot of,
sorry, Sarah. She went home with who became her boyfriend, this guy named Sean, in college the first time, and he put that song on. She was like, what?
Right out of the gates.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure, I feel.
Yeah, I don't think you can open with that
song.
No. You're
gonna live
Smooth
up to
Operator,
that.
You can't get your pants
to
off.
To me, it's weird trying to think about what sex song to have sex to, because there's so much that you'd have to, like, there's so much time before sex where it's like making out, doing everything that at some point you're going to be like, just 1 second over here.
Yeah.
Like skip track, pause. And then it's like an insertion play. And like when yeah.
You're like, oh no, this is the live version. Fuck. I got to go back and find the studio version.
Way too, it's just too much of a hassle. I think to like be like, it's gotta be that song.
It seems like a teenager thing.
It's way easier to just put the TV on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little white noise.
I think so.
Or Two and a Half Men.
like
to fuck to the sweet sounds of Two and a Half Men.
An Onion headline I once had that I think it was like one of the last batches of headlines. I don't do headlines for them anymore. It was like one of the last ones I sent in. And I think I was like, I can go out on this. And it was just eye contact broken during sex to see who Carla yelling at on Cheers rerun. because Caroline and I, it was a real thing. Caroline and I were having sex and we had Cheers on in the background and Carla was yelling and I had seen this episode before and I was like, who's she yelling at? Oh yeah, that's right. And
I looked over. Dude, Carla demands the attention though.
Oh,
there's
man.
No way to keep your eyes off of Carla.
Oh yeah.
I will say that.
That's hilarious. That's such a real moment.
Yeah.
Like, I just have to know.
When the fact that they took it, I was like, that's great.
Who was it? Was it Sam?
Who was what?
Who was Carla yelling at?
It was, Hill, the guy who owns the upstairs restaurant.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In like season 9.
Spunk, Carla. Well.
Backseat.
Backseat.
Nostalgia?
Nostalgia purposes. I like that a lot. I feel the same way. I think it would have to be the right backseat because some backseats really aren't suited.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I think sometimes it's a little difficult, but
yeah,
I think I would say backseat in that situation as well.
The first time I ever saw a pair of boobs, like live and in person, was in the backseat of a car.
You'd seen a single before.
Seen a single.
Single. No
I
pairs.
Saw,
not a pair.
Yeah. I did see a nipple like in a homecoming dance. And I was like, excuse me, your nipple's showing.
very politely. Just, I don't know if you know. If you know, cool. But
like, she wasn't my date. I was just looking out for her. But I just remember I made it so weird because we were making out and then her shirt's off and her boobs are out. And I just stopped. I stopped making out with her and I just sat up and I was like, hang on. This is incredible. It's like,
oh
I'm sorry.
Gosh.
I just got to say, like, this is the best. Yeah. This is the best.
I just want to savor this moment.
Yeah, I did take a moment to just take it in. She's like, okay, you're being really weird right now.
Yeah, live
like,
commentary.
She's like, you got 20 more minutes.
Get it. Come
yeah,
on.
You're on Honk. The clock, kid.
Come on.
And second ScarJo time that we've spoken about ScarJo.
I got a big old crush on
her.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie in the Skin? Or what's it called?
No.
The Skin I'm In?
No. Under the Skin.
Under the Skin. No, I went to actually see it, and I was running so late. I went to a Times Square theater, and I was running so late that I ended up I just would have missed like the first 15, 20 minutes, and I hate doing that.
Yeah.
So I then ended up seeing the Bears documentary, the
Ooh,
Disney with Married by John C.
That.
Riley. Great. It was a great.
Also sexy.
Very sexy.
Very sexy.
Yeah.
John C. Riley's voice in it? It's going to be sexy.
But I missed that. But that's a sexy movie. She's sexy just, in that movie.
Yeah, she's extremely, extremely sexy in that movie.
Mm-hmm. We did see what's the one where her brain
Lucy,
reaches
not
capacity.
Sexy. Love Luke Besson, but what a fucking
it was like
pile
too dumb.
Of garbage dicks.
I even smoked weed before, and I did that thing where I was like trying to be like, whoa, this is trippy. And I was like, no, this is like a Sharper Image catalog. Like, yeah. Everything was, like, purple, like...
Yeah.
And she'd be like, my brain's going to reach full capacity. And then Morgan Freeman would be like, her brain's going to reach full capacity. And then they'd have type...
On like, the screen.
On, like, a title like, page being like, 80% to full capacity. You're like, you are beating me over the head with this.
Yeah.
Anyway, she still looked good.
Yeah, she was great.
Hey, she's, you know, she's fit.
She's a good-looking gal. She's fit.
You know who else looks good?
Ooh, our PC spotlight.
This is our PC puzzle.
Our PC puzzle.
It's our power couple of the week.
All right.
You know her. Muscular tube leading from the external genitals to the cervix of the uterus in women and most female mammals.
And you know him, male sex organ, nicknamed the main vein. We're talking about the vag.
And the peen. So our power couple.
This is a good power couple.
Yes, the penis and the vagina. Now, I also just want to...
Is it not the power couple every time?
No, I'm surprised we've never done this.
This feels like this is the first time the power couple's been the peen and the vagina.
This is the first. This is the first. We've managed almost 50 episodes to avoid...
The pee and the vee.
Not to avoid, I said.
I feel honored.
Yeah, we dropped really it on you.
It's what if fucking we did do the same one every episode?
Powerful couple.
We just want to hear everyone's thoughts on the penis and the vagina. Now, I also just want to say, too, that there's, you know, we celebrate and love all forms of genital contact.
Oh, yeah.
Any sort of orifice on any sort of person.
Mm-hmm. We're just celebrating this one today.
Today is the day to celebrate the peen and the vag.
Next week it could be a peen and a peen.
Could be double peen, docking.
It could be a power couple.
The bramble and the rose wrapping around each other.
I love...
Yep.
I have a real big respect for vaginas because I recently, for a comedy piece, I researched vaginas in depth. And
in depth is a funny description.
And the many layers.
I mean, just the whole ecosystem going on in there. Mm-hmm. All the, there's just so much more going on than what's going on in our dick.
Let me put it this way. It's really cool.
Yeah. When you get into the physiology of it, dicks are just boring.
Oh, yeah.
In comparison, for sure. And a legendary vagina, Diana Kolsky, with a legend. I'll tell you on your birthday that it's also exceptional because it's there's different strokes, of course, but there's all sorts of variety. Mm-hmm.
Variety is the spice
of
life.
Yes.
And the spice of the vagina.
Truth.
And it's pretty interesting how different vaginas can look.
Yeah.
We were talking to our friend, who I won't name names, but at a party this weekend, who said they just had crazy beef curtains.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
It's just a big, chunky vag. Yeah. And I was like, I want to see your vag.
I know. Yeah, they said with a small pair of underwear on, or just a normal fitting size pair of underwear, it looks like there's almost a scrotum.
A chunk in there.
A chunk in there.
Kind of like China.
Chunk in the trunk.
You guys remember China?
China, yes. The WWF wrestler? Yes.
Yeah. She was one of our power couples.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Her and Triple H. We had a wrestler on the show and we brought them up to
her. Oh, that's great. Yeah.
What is her? She has serious beef curtains?
Yeah, I'd say so. I've seen it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, she also has a long clit, right?
That might be what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A longer clit.
Yeah. She had like that opposable clit that could like pick stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Oh my word.
Like I made that last part up.
Yeah.
Like a sloth.
It could grasp little objects.
The two-toed vag.
Her clit is the cameraman in the porn. It's operating the camera.
That's how they get those great shots.
Oh. But I also and I've had
Can I read something you wrote on this note card?
Please.
The vagina, often imitated, never duplicated. It's a very special and beautiful thing.
Wow.
Guys, Murph wrote that.
I wrote
that. Great?
I don't know if I was going to say it, but I'm glad you
did. I'm going to say it.
I'm glad you did.
Right.
But it is imitated. They people try to, you got your fleshlights, you got your, which those devices are fine, but there's no substitute for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like you guys are given the wiener, the short end of the dick, there's a joke there I did not make properly, but I like dicks a lot too. So everyone should feel really good today.
Yeah, well,
but whatever they have going on.
No, I love having a penis. You know, I love it.
Yeah, I wish I could have a penis for like a day.
For one day.
Yeah, I just want to like
be paid a wage.
I want to know what everything is like.
Yeah, I'd have a vag for a day, sure, of course.
Oh, absolutely, for a day. Yeah,
2 days.
Nah. I think it's really interesting that, like, what gets me off is the feeling of being inside something. And for women, it's the feeling of having something inside them. Like,
right.
They're just totally different. It's just, the most opposite type of pleasure.
Agreed. Agreed.
But I can see both sides. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see strapping on a dick and fucking somebody and that being obviously not physiologically erotic, but being like a cool sensation.
Sure.
Sure.
Like China with her 11-inch clit inserting it into into people.
Yeah, I saw her on the street once and then I looked down and realized her clit was inside me.
She slips it in and walks on.
This is going to be I know it's not fair to make this comparison, but I just want to know, like, I think it's fantastic when I have a Q-tip in my ear. Like, you find a sweet spot. It just feels great. Does it at all feel that way?
No, I actually think that's a good comparison to someone who's never going to feel like having a vagina and having something inside it. I think that it is that, like, tingly awesome, because I love using a good Q-tip, too.
Sure.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever diddled a finger in the butt or had anyone go into the butt?
Yeah. Yeah, and I like that. It's not bad.
I like it better than a Q-tip in the ear. I don't clean my ears as often as I should, though.
I know, and then when you do, it's so gross.
It's a buildup, yeah. It's too much. It's too much at once.
You're lucky. I love you so much.
What? Thank you. So that's also interesting about the butthole, too, because with anal sex, some people love anal sex. Yeah. I, as far as putting my penis into an anus, I prefer the vagina by a landslide. It's not even close.
I have no real interest in
the
I don't have any anal sex.
I had a finger in my butt once, and I hated it. It felt like I was taking a backward shit. And I thought, this isn't for me. I was like, I have no judgment on anyone, but this is not my jam.
I just don't like to take reverse shits.
Yeah. That's... Like, think of how great it is to take a shit and then think of the reverse of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder about the...
So does it feel great when you, like, get the dick out of your vagina? Is it like...
Yeah.
Yes! Yeah. All right.
Yeah, the pull out after the orgasm is the best part. I speak for everyone.
Oh,
yeah, and when you're reading a book and you just get that pull
out. It's happening.
The preference to that, I guess, also falls in like the masculinity and femininity, because I've the conversations that I've had with gay men about substituting a vagina for an anus, just in the sense that like vaginas just feel better.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a sexual preference or if that's just an opinion, of course. I won't say a fact. But if you liked the feel of a vagina better, but you were a gay man, to substitute an asshole for a
vagina.
That's
interesting and really hard to say, because it's like which comes first.
Right.
Because you'd probably like what you have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't know.
Might just be a lube situation too.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
To me, one of the things the vagina has going on in its corner is the fact that
in this corner.
weighing in at 200 pounds.
Yeah, is the vagina.
China's enormous vagina, 200 pounds.
Self-lubing vagina.
Yeah, no, the self-lubing's good.
The natural lube, natural cleanliness, yeah. Yeah, it's that's true.
And you got to stay on top of that when you're having anal sex.
You do. You got to stay on top of lube. And also, it's just the groups.
You have to stay on top of whoever you're having anal sex with.
Don't slide to the side.
Guys, this whiskey is really hitting the spot.
The banana for me. I can't wait to nibble on this banana.
Has everyone eaten their banana yet?
I haven't eaten it yet. I'm saving it for lunch.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So I don't know. I would love to see see those hypothetical surveys.
I'd like to see that data that doesn't exist.
Yes, please.
We salute the penis and the vagina.
We salute the penis and the vagina.
Salute you.
Our power couple of the week.
Ding, 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 dong.
Ring a ding, 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 dong. Let's slip on over to Virtual Sugar.
That was great. Is that it?
And good night. No, do you guys know what OkCupid is?
Yeah,
I've heard of it.
Great. So what we do is we found you, pretend you're single for a moment.
Okay.
As an actor.
Got it.
And we are going to take you on an improvised date with a real OkCupid profile we found.
We found a profile that we thought would match you really well. The moniker of this OkCupid user is The Real Meg White. And the location of the date is going to be a garage sale in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
So Diana is going to play the date, the real Meg White.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play yourself.
That's great.
And then I'll just play any ancillary characters that may pop up.
So we're at a garage sale?
Okay.
In Nashville, Tennessee.
Got it. Date begins now. Hi, Zach.
Meg.
Hello.
Hi. It's great to see you. Great to meet you.
It's great to meet you, too.
Oh, man, this is, I'm excited. I think this is a great idea for a day, just going to a garage sale.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I do on the weekend, so I'm really glad you were into coming along.
Oh, man. Are you actually Meg Whitt from the White Stripes?
I don't like to say.
All right.
Definitively, but I am. Yeah, I'm Meg Whitt.
Oh, man. That's great.
Did you not know what I looked like? Or
I do know what you look like, and you look like you.
Thanks.
And it's I just wanted to make sure. You know, it's just when someone says the real something, sometimes you can't tell if it's a joke or not.
Are you the real Zach Braff?
See, that's why I was wondering if you were. I'm not actually. That's
oh yeah, because I was like, you don't look like yourself at all.
I know.
All.
I'm sorry. See, that's why I thought you were joking, but you're not. That's great. I remember when I first saw you play in the White Stripes. When I was 17, and you were incredible. You were an incredible drummer. You had this power. I couldn't like take my eyes off you. If you don't mind me saying, it was pretty sexual. I shouldn't say that right away.
Thanks. No, that's really.
I'm sorry.
That's really sweet. Okay.
Hey, you want to buy something here?
Yeah, I'm actually looking for some vintage, like, crocheted pot holders. Do you have anything
cool.
like that?
Absolutely.
Great.
Vintage pot holders.
Where are they?
They're over here next to my Precious Moments collection.
All right.
Angels, porcelain angels.
Are you Hito Rick?
I don't like to say up front.
Oh, my gosh. You know who Hito Rick is?
Yeah, do you?
Yes.
I'm obsessed with that video.
Let's just say I'll gift wrap any purchase you make, and then you can go home and rip and tear it open.
Oh, my God. My gosh.
It's Hito Rick.
This is incredible.
It's me. It's me, guys.
This is amazing.
I moved down to Nashville. Hito trips next week. Going off to Hedonism 2 again.
Oh, wow.
41st time.
I've been kind of wanting to go to...
Really? Oh, you have?
You haven't?
No, I think that's disgusting.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry. Why are you into Hito Rick?
Hey,
I thought
it's like a novelty. Like, oh my gosh, I bought a crocheted pot holder from Hito Rick from the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That's totally fair. Sorry. I just thought it'd be interesting to do one day. Maybe not this week. Maybe not this week. I don't know.
I'm gonna be there this week.
That's great.
You guys want to go, so don't...
Why don't you guys just go together?
No, that's the thing, is I don't want to do it with
Ooh.
Hito Rick. It's with others. Listen, Meg.
It's with others.
Wait, are you... wait, hold on a sec.
What?
Are you a music person?
Yeah, I'm a music person.
All right.
Guilty.
Shit.
Where are those pot holders, Rick?
Mick.
Jeez, they're over here.
Mick, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, what's up?
What have you been up to the last few years?
Well, after I divorced my fake brother, Jack, I've been laying low, just kind of collecting vintage crocheted house items and volunteering at the cat shelter.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah.
Date. No, I shouldn't have opened it with that. Like, I shouldn't have opened with the whole sexual feelings.
You were just being honest.
17.
Though.
You were being honest. So you were at a White Stripe show feeling.
And it was sexual?
Or at least.
The sexual energy going on between Jack White and Meg White. It was just like. Jack, they were so locked in with each other. It looked like he was playing for her.
Yeah.
Which was an awesome aspect of it. And she's not like the most technically fantastic drummer, but just. When she's out there and just, like, playing, you can tell she's just, like, her whole body's just, like, I'm fucking drumming. And it's just, I don't know. I think any type of, when you see anybody doing what they, like, are passionate about and they're just fully into it, I think it's very sexy.
That's sexy.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yep, completely. But they were not brother and sister. Was that a hoax?
No.
Yeah.
They floated that?
And
then they were romantic.
But they were
linked.
Lovers.
They got married and he took her last name.
What was his original last name? Does anyone know? Gray?
Gorgish.
Abramoff.
Abramoff. No, Jack Abramoff. He started a second wind of his career.
Jack Abramoff. Yep. Great.
His real name is John Anthony Gillis.
That's what we said, Haas.
John
Jack
Gillis.
Jack White's a better name.
I'm joking.
The right choice.
White's a better name. Gillis is a weird...
It's not a rock name.
Let's think about fish.
Yeah.
Fish don't rock.
Fish don't rock, and that makes me sad. Want to know why?
Why?
We're saying goodbye to Zach.
That makes me sad, too.
A.K.A. Dr. Sexman.
Dr. Sexman.
That's right. I didn't know who the White Stripes were before this concert, and afterwards, it was opened by the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, too, who I also didn't know.
I love.
Karen O was...
She's incredible. Unbelievable.
It just, like, I fell in love with two bands for life, like, after that concert.
That's awesome.
I went to a tiny concert. It was the Yeah Yeah Yeahs 10-year reunion show, and it was me and, like, 60 other people, and feel like I went crazy. I feel like I went transcended.
She's a showman for the ages,
ooh,
man.
So talented.
One of the best. One of the best.
Another showman for the ages. If you're in NYC, you can peep Zach performing at the UCB Theater.
And please, please, give his Dr. Sexman column a read on theoccasional.com. It's both hilarious and informative.
Also, follow Zach on Twitter. Hit at Big Zach Poitras.
At Big Zach Poitras.
Any other plugs?
That's all I got so far.
Great. You plugged everything up, I guess.
That's
Everything's
it. It's
all plugged.
Plugged.
There's a Meg White show at the Cat Shelter coming up next week that I would love everyone to attend in Nashville.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. And happy birthday.
Thank
happy
you.
Happy birthday.
Holla. We'd also like to thank our producer, Hosmosis.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Ben Hosley.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Hosmosis. And also our mama, UCB Comedy, for raising us right and hosting us here.
Please tweet at us, at Menage Radio. Check us out online. Goodbye.
Online goodbye.
The Rippin' and the Tearin'.
Oh, Hito.
Rippin', tearin'.
Menage a Trois recorded at UCB Comedy Studios in New York City. Titillating tunes brought to you by French Horn Rebellion. Check out all things funny at ucbcomedy.com and subscribe to Menage a Trois Radio on iTunes for new episodes every hump day. That's Wednesday for all you lovers out there.